The topic today is our Father. So the Father I'm talking about is not any Father when I use the word our Father. It's Jesus' Father that I'm referring to. And I'll tell you the end of the story before I start. And the end of the story is the fact that Jesus referred to the Father as, when he talked, he said, my Father. Particularly when he was in a pretty tough time, as my Father in heaven. And he knew him intimately, one, and he introduces us to his Father, and with him then we can say, our Father. Right, so Jesus takes us by the hand or puts his arm around us and goes, let me introduce you to my Father. And then he says, my Father is your Father. And we have this special relationship right through our life. And that is not restricted to male. Right? When we talk about our Father, we're not here thinking gender today. I don't think it's a gender thing at all. Right? So that's where we're going to go. I'm going to pray, ask Jesus to be with us and introduce us to our Father, his Father. Jesus, thank you for coming to earth and showing us who your Father is, and we want to get to know him even a little bit more this morning. For some, we've heard of him and we know him a little bit, but we want to know him more. We want to know him as you know him, and help us to be introduced to your Father Jesus this morning, so together we might say our Father in heaven. We ask this in your name. Amen. I'm not sure what you, when you think of the word father, there's probably a lot of things that come to your mind. And like any sort of metaphor, there's a few ideas in the Bible that say that when we use the term our Father, what are we thinking about God when we use the term our Father? It's like when last week you had Jesus as king. When we think of the word king, we think of certain things about his reign and rule. When we use the word our Father, what are we thinking of? The most regular one is provider, right? When we think of father, provider, when we think of that, we think of provider, and it's right through the Bible. Jesus uses, I'm sticking to Matthew today, I'm not getting out of Matthew, I just stick to one book when I normally do this. Jesus got onto it when he says, you know, when you think about the lilies of the valley, you think about this or that, he said, how well they're clothed, how much more will your Father clothe you? When you think about how, a parent giving a bread to their child, how much more will Father do for you? Right? So the whole idea in the scripture is, How much more will he do for you than what you know from the representation around you of a father, right? So he is absolutely a provider. This is Jesus' idea. And what Jesus found out is Jesus also found out for himself as a man on earth, the Father was his provider. Because Jesus mirrors, he experiences this whole thing, right? So every time we provide, we are acting like the Father. Every time we do that. Now, I know, I think guys probably get it. I'm of an old school, and it's really hard to explain to people how I thought when I was 20 and 25 in this modern age. There's a time when Marg and I both resigned from teaching to go to Ridley Bible College. We'd only been teaching a year, and we'd been married a year. And my father said to me, don't do this, Barry. You do philosophy when you get to 50, but you don't do it when you're 25. Your job as a father, as a husband and a father is, guess what? To provide for your wife and your future family, and you're about to throw that away. And that was massive. Because that is, do you think that's fair and reasonable advice? I think any male here, back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, we felt that obligation to be the provider. My father was a good father, He provided. He put food on the table. Requirement number one after the war, if you've got food on the table and a roof overhead, you have been a good father, right? And I know I had to battle with that because when Marg and I resigned from teaching, I had Marg resign because I didn't want to bludge off her. In 1978, for me to go to Bible college and rely on my wife's income was like, I'm not bludging off her. She can do some study as well. But that was so ingrained that the father is the provider. You agree to that one? So when we talk about our father, we're saying our father in heaven, our provider, the best of providers. Now, with this idea of provider, we can all be fathers, not just the males here. The ladies can all be fathers to other people. Because Jesus introduces us to his father, and he says, this is what my father's like. And you too can do his work. You too can be a father to the homeless, to the poor. You get that story? So when I talk about fatherhood, this is not one side of the congregation here, not all the ones up behind the box. This is to everybody. Jesus introduces his father, and we know him as father, and he says, you too can be a father. Now, just to sort of demonstrate that, I would like John and Jenny to come up here, Willits. And anyone else who was involved in Stable One this year in any formal capacity, just can you just drop up here, volunteer, or I think Di should be there because she's been a wonderful support. I don't know where Di is. You should be here. Yeah. Gail, right. Now, we've got a mix here. We've got male and female, right? But I would just say to you, Jenny, that over the last 3 months, a bit longer than that, you have been a father to the homeless. You've got the heart of the father, right? You have been a provider for those who don't have. John has. He sat in the background. He just had to live with Jenny. And that in itself is like when you're being a father to someone else, you need, thank you for being a mother to your wife in order to be a father to the others, right? Thank you guys for being a father to the homeless this week. Thank you. Give him a round of applause. Right? We think of our Father God. He's also a protector. And any male here gets this, should get this. Is we're quite fearsome about our being a protector. Well, I think it should be in our DNA. I was of the opinion that if there's a bullet coming from Marg, I will take it, right? You just have that in you, right? It's born into being a father, or to protect your children, right? And when a father is not a protector, it's not the way it should be. Now, we don't all have that experience where fathers are protectors, but the God who Jesus is introducing to us, our Father, is a protector. And he's also reliable. Now, I was fascinated. Do you hear that word said this morning from, where is he? Travis. He was praying and said, thank you, God, that you're reliable. Did anyone notice that? And I thought, what a great word, because that's the word I used. And I thought, Travis is always ahead of me when he's doing worship. Because I'm trying to think in everyday term, like you say to a bloke, man, he's a reliable bloke. We're like, yeah. I mean, that's what Rick was saying this morning. You're reliable. You got out of bed and you came. It's an attribute of father. It's a father attribute. Reliable, trustworthy. We can use other sort of terms like faithfulness and that are in the Bible, but he's absolutely reliable. Now, I want to now introduce you to Jesus, where he was saying, Father, you're my provider, you're my protector, you're reliable, I walk with you, you're the God I know, you're the Father I know, and I want to introduce you to others. And these are the people I want to introduce you to. Who are the people that God wants to be a father to? Our Father is particularly a father to the poor, in spirit, to those who are grieving, to the humble, to those experiencing loss, those seeking justice, to the merciful, to those who are pure in heart, to the to the peacemakers, and to the persecuted. That's who God wants to be a father to. He is not going to be a father to the arrogant and the proud and the ones who think they're better than anyone else and think they've got it all worked together. He's not interested in being a father to them. I might use overstatement occasionally to make the point. But this is a beatitude. Blessed are. Why? Because they can say, our Father. Our Father. And we are, it's when we're in this sort of situation of being poor in spirit, grieving, humble, and we come to the Father, he is ready to explode in our life. Now, give you another verse. Next piece. Now, I'm going through Matthew 11, 25 to 28. That's us today. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. I'll go back and explain the time in a moment. At that time. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever. Thank you for hiding these things from those who think they're wise and clever. This is Jesus speaking to his Father, and it's called prayer of thanks. Isn't it a great prayer of thanks? He starts off with, thank you for not letting all these people know about you. And for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Lord, it pleased you to do it this way. This is an intimate conversation between Jesus and his Father. My Father, this is. My Father, thank you for letting all these idiots who think they know everything, who control the religious society, control all the power and the money and the earthly. Thank you that you choose to hide it all from them. So if you're in that category, you won't understand a word I'm talking about this morning. And I would pray that God keeps your ears deaf and your eyes blinded. Because that's what my Father's like. However, if you're among those who are humble, those who are grieving, mourning, those who go through the Beatitudes, right, who are persecuted for your faith, those who are doing it tough, if you're among them, and you want to open your hands, arms to the Father, he's like, I am right there with you. Now, these are not my ideas. These are Jesus' ideas. Right? Let me read it again. Don't you reckon this is a great verse? At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. O Father, Lord of heaven, thank you. You're hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Lord, it pleased you to do it this way. I think at the time, Jesus was not sure. Because at this time, he was doing it hard. At this time, John the Baptist, who was in prison and would lose his head not long after, sent his followers to Jesus to say, could you ask, is he really the Messiah? Now, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? John the Baptist, who baptized him, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and a word from him said, this is my son, my beloved son, who I'm well pleased. And Jesus has gone out and he's done the devil over, and he's done miracles, and this has been happening. And John has got to the point to send his followers to say, Jesus, is this Jesus really the one? And Jesus gets this message. After this, he prays this. Or in this context. It's the same context where he cast out evil spirit and they said, because he's of the devil himself. The Pharisees decide that they're going to try and kill him after he does a miracle on a Sabbath. He heals was it? I can't remember what it was. Leprosy, one of those. He heals it on the Sunday, and they go, "This is not good." Now, you could have expected people to go, "Fantastic, great, the kingdom of God has come." Instead, he's getting opposition, right? It goes on and on. He's got to the point that he goes, "My father, what's going on here?" And now I get it. He has a conversation. I get it. You reveal it to the childlike. Isn't that beautiful? And after this prayer, it actually gets worse, you know. So this is a message for all of us here, in that life, when you're doing it, in a sense, tough, when you're feeling, you know, "I'm a bit over myself and I need help," God is right there, because that's where Jesus was. And all the way through, his relationship with Father never breaks. It's like the most richest thing he had was his relationship with the Father. And the richest thing we have is our relationship with the Father. Jesus has introduced him to him. And when it gets tough, that's when you find that richness of that relationship. That's why it's always the poor and the struggler. They get it. They need the Father. This one here. This is the next verse. "My Father entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father. No one truly knows the Father except the Son, and to those whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So following this first previous prayer about, "I'm glad you didn't let the wise know and you shut their ears up. Now I know you and you know me, and now Father, I'm going to introduce you." That's what he's saying. Jesus is saying, "And I will introduce them to the Father. I will introduce the poor, the suffering, the outcast. I will introduce them to you, the greatest gift." Isn't that fantastic, right? And we all get to do this. We get to be Jesus. We get to be Jesus introducing people to the Father around us, right? I have a feeling that the term "our Father," like, I think of it like, I might need you to hold the mic, Mark. My Father connection, or Jesus connection, when it's really rough, and I only use it then, and it's so liberating, because I go, actually, there's nothing that can happen out there. There's nothing you can do. I could give you, like, I don't care, I'd love to give you a lousy sermon, and you walk out of here and go, "That was absolutely pitiful and a waste of time. I'm not sure. The only good thing was I got out of bed and Rick said it was good to be here. But other than that, the whole morning was a wipe off." And you do that about me and I go, you know what? I don't care. Isn't that good? Aren't we free? So that's what I'm introducing you to today, right? Your Father in heaven. Jesus introduces you to his Father. Now, I think that response of Jesus introduce me to your Father, and you go together, you just go, "Our Father." The arm around Jesus, his arms out, yours out, "Our Father." I think that is the kingdom of God. I reckon that's close to the mustard seed. Unless the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, it comes a mustard seed, right? But then it grows into a beautiful tree, or just the leaven in the loaf of bread. Then it grows into a big loaf of bread. I think of the mustard seed as almost unseen. Some people say small to big. I say you can't even see it. It's so small. The leaven, you can't even see it in the bread. It's so small. And it's the smallest thing done out of a pure heart to our Father that he takes that and goes, "You know what I can do with that?" There's another verse in the Bible that says that Father is like our potter and we're the clay. When you just go, "Our Father," he goes, "That's the mustard seed." And actually, when you do that, you hardly know it's existing. And Jesus got to that point in his life where he did everything to demonstrate the kingdom of God and no one took any notice. In fact, it gets worse, because we get to the cross. He's hanging up on the cross. He's been slain, he's been ridiculed, he's been mocked. He hasn't done anything that looks like the kingdom, but he is the kingdom. He wasn't any less the kingdom. He was the kingdom of God, victorious, being mocked and put down. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the pure. Blessed are the persecuted. Who is that? It's Jesus. And he's on the cross, and he goes, God, why have you forsaken me? Now, that's about the end of the rail, wouldn't you think? Right? So this is the Christian life that we enjoy, right? Because he's still going, not my will, but your will. So why is he saying that? Because God is a provider. The Father is a protector. The Father is reliable. Jesus never doubted that he was not the provider, the protector, the reliable one, the one who will see it through. Despite all that struggle, he never doubted that. That's the mustard seed, if you believe. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, I can move mountains. If the poor, the disenfranchised, have that amount of faith, we can change a life. Right? Isn't that wonderful? So all that text is in the same Matthew section. Then he goes on. Jesus just says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Now that, you can unpack rest as a theological term, it's a big theological term, it's just one little word here. I will give you rest. That's Jesus going, Father, I'm glad you didn't come to the wise and the proud. I'm glad you came to those who are childlike. And you know what? I know you really well. I know you fully, and you know me fully. And I'll introduce you to others so they can know you. And my Father, I'll put my arms around them. And now I'll say, together we'll say, Our Father. And their burdens will be lifted. And I think it doesn't explain this, come to me all who are weary and heavy burdens. It doesn't say what the burdens are, but I think it's probably ourselves. Like, I need to get over myself. I had a co-worker once who was very responsible. I always put responsible people around me. It's really helpful. Anyway, she was being responsible and concerned about something that I was responsible for as CEO of Wycliffe. And I said, don't worry about it. Why? I said, because it's my responsibility and I'm not worrying. Right? It's no one else's responsibility but me. So if it falls, that falls to me. And I'm still happy. Right? And the person said to me, you don't know how hard it is to be me. I thought it was one of the best answers I've heard of. You don't know how hard it is to be Mark Clark. It wasn't Mark, I'm born. But the person said, because the person felt responsible, they felt this and they felt, and they couldn't let it go, right? But it says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. All who are weary about just being me, or weary about this, the poor in spirit, the humble, the pure. You know what? Just come to me and I'll give you rest. Then Jesus says, let me teach you. What he's saying, let me teach you about my Father, who is now our Father. Just let me teach you. Then I love this. Jesus says, because I am humble and gentle at heart. This is Jesus speaking. He's just said the Father's humble and gentle at heart. Now he's saying, I'm humble and gentle at heart. Describes himself in the words of the Beatitudes. And because he will teach and he's humble, he can introduce you to the humble one. One of the characteristics of God that was most prominent in the first three centuries was that God is a patient God. He's a humble, patient God. Isn't that good? And you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burdens I give is light. So that's my message for this morning, and I'm doing pretty well. But we're going to have an extended response time. To the message of my little bit of faith, my little God, Father, my Father, our Father. He takes that and he changes the world. Right? So if the Lord's speaking to you and saying to you, Jesus, this one here, Jesus, teach me. If your response is, Jesus, teach me about your Father. I've used these words all my life, almost. I was never brought up in a church, but I think I ought to pray the Lord's Prayer somewhere at school. So I've had, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I've used the word, now Jesus, you said you're going to teach me. And you know what? You're gentle. And you're humble in your teaching. And you're going to put your arms around, and Jesus, you're going to say, tell me about your Father, Jesus. Introduce me. Tell me more.